Live from the historic Detroit Golf Club, home of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's the Spin on Golf Show, presented by Rocket Mortgage. With your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Bullegian.
And welcome into another season of Spin on Golf here on 760 WJR. Of course, on the radio, on StreamYard as well. So glad that you can join us wherever you may be. We are in exotic locations, to be sure, to start our first show this year. First of all, Jordan Young is joining us in Vegas right now. You've got Mike Fay in BC over at the beautiful Detroit Golf Club, which I'm intrigued to hear about because BC was telling us it does look different out there, and I can't wait to see what that's like. And I'm just in good old boring Northville tonight, but can't wait to be together with the boys all year long, and certainly with you guys all year long as well. What a better way to start our first season than to talk about a new Masters champion. I'm going to throw the word improbable out there, and it's probably not the first time that it's been thrown out there since he won, just a couple minutes ago. But congratulations to Hideki, got the job done, held on, and as all of you said in different ways, it's big for golf. It's big for golf over in Japan as well.
Yeah, we just doubled the advertising power just by one person, which is great. I mean, it's great for golf, like you said, worldwide, and it's good, period, just good for golf. I mean, because he just saw a different way to win from a champion.
We knew he was going to win too, right, BC?
I didn't know he was going to win until 18. I really didn't.
You're right.
Guys, it's great to be back. Season 8, Spin on Golf on WJR. Sean, good to be back to have you with us again. I'm out here in Vegas having a good time. Got in yesterday. I'm glad that Mike and BC are holding up the end of the bargain at the Detroit Golf Club, which will be there for, I believe, the next 12 weeks, heading into the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And hey, Masters week, it's always fun. Great to be watching and see some of it. I missed the first 2 days, but I caught a lot of the last couple. And crazy back nine. Hideki hung on. Scheifele, man, what was he doing on 16? I mean, what was going on in Zalatoris? I mean, that kid's fun to watch, and he had a chance too. So crazy stuff on the back nine. Great for Hideki. BC spent some time with him. He's a really cool guy and really talented, although he can't speak much English. But I see BC sporting the Srixon and the yellow hat there in honor of the champ. We'll have to talk about that story on the first tee at Whistling Straits, BC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a good kid, but I think he can speak English. I think he just refuses sometimes. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. But
I've seen that from a few guys around here too. That is something that a few hockey players have been known to do that. They lean on a little bit. Hey, let's go across the board with you guys though. Here's a guy that hadn't won on tour in almost 4 years. He's still only 29 years old. I mean, that's the crazy thing. But BC, you were saying while we were on Sports Wrap here on 760 WJR, it's just a subtle reminder of how difficult it is, not just to win a major, but to win on the tournament. This guy is a pretty darn good golfer. He hasn't been able to win anything in 4 years.
Yeah, and you've got 156 in each field, 35. I don't know what they're playing now, Mike. That's how out of touch I am. But anyway, you've got 140 guys looking at you every week saying, I'm going to kill you. I am going to beat you up. I'm going to win. And every one of those guys believes it, plus another 10,000 behind them. So good luck out there. It's very, very, very difficult, as Jordan might know.
Jordan, you had a great question from a noted golf expert, your five-year-old nephew, Simon in Ottawa, asked a great question. And I'm serious when I say that. Why don't you tell everybody what the question is and then give them, I guess, the best answer?
Well, you know, he said, hey, why my sister texted me, Jenna, out there in Ottawa. And she said, Simon wants to know why they call it the Masters. And, you know, I am not the historian. So all of my history golf stuff goes directed towards BC because he's the voice of reason and the historian. And Mike might know too, because Mike's a pretty smart guy. But I have no clue why it's called the Masters. So hopefully you guys can help us out here. I don't know.
Well, back in 34, Horton Smith wins the original one, and they call it the Augusta Invitational. Invitational, which to me it still is. But they thought it would be we need a better term for this, much better term, so we call it the Augusta Masters. And they said it didn't sound right. It wasn't big enough. Let's just call it the Masters. So Robert Trent Jones finally whittled it down to just calling it the Masters in 1939.
Got it.
That's the short version of the whole story in the PG or G version. Let's put it that
way. Got it. I've got another question. I mean, have they changed the back of the range this year? It seemed like we were getting some different shots from that little cabin behind the range on the corner there. Did they add something?
They kind of moved the media around a little bit, and then I've never seen so many cameras. I mean, I stopped there, and again, I must have seen 150 cameras, like mounted permanent camera positions from positions like over there up in the trees. And plus they had the drone going, which you saw all week. So I think that was great because you really got a perspective on the hilliness and the terrain change of the golf course for the first time. You could really see that, Mike,
and the shadows, right? I mean, we never really saw a lot of shadows,
right? It was really cool. So I was kind of struck by the amount of cameras, permanent cameras around the whole golf course that were like new, like, whoa, look at that camera.
What'd you guys think about the new camera angles where they were walking with the players and it looked kind of not panoramic, but it had that kind of movie shot type style where it was a little different filter and they would walk behind them. It was kind of, it almost looked like a commercial, but it was live. What'd you guys think of that?
A little Hollywoodish for me. I mean, I like to see golf shots. And I like to see golf shots. I'm old school, but, you know, whatever.
BC is very conservative tonight. I mean, we're 15 minutes into the show, and he's just kind of bland so far. What's up, BC?
Give me a little. But you know what? I drove over here about a long time ago, so I'm winding down. Marthro got me so fired up coming over here. He got me so fired up, and then I kind of burnt out. So I'll be back.
Well, okay. Get fired up. We're about to go to a break. When we come back, Mark Hollis is going to join us. We'll get his take on what transpired today and that beautiful, beautiful course down in Augusta, Georgia. Don't you go anywhere. It's Spin on Golf on a Sunday night right here on 760 WJR.
Welcome back to the Spin on Golf show presented by Rocket Mortgage and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Now back to your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Bolegian.
Well, so glad you could join us here, Spin on Golf, on a Sunday night here on 760 WJR. Great to be joined by an old friend of the station, still doing a heck of a lot of stuff. This guy's never going to slow down. And just regaling us during the break of some of his history at that beautiful golf course down in Augusta. Let's welcome him in. Mark Hollis, of course, the Vice President of Business Development for Rock Ventures. And first of all, Mark, thank you for joining us. And 29 times, did I hear that number correctly? You've played that beautiful course 29 times?
Give or take a little bit. It's right in that range, at least rounds. So it's, you know, we've had some really memorable experiences down there with some great friends, but also some very challenging ones. When Hideki hit that shot on number one, I recall being over there. I think I hit the concession stand once when I was going off one. But I'm a scrambler. I like to hit it far off the first tee and recover. So it's a fun course to do that on.
You know what's interesting about this is we were talking before you came on, Mark. Look, a major is a major. There's something about that place. There's something about the Masters. There's something about Augusta. Can you put your finger on it? I'm going to ask these guys later. They're going to have some time to think about it, but I'm going to put you on the spot. What is it that seems to set that place and this event apart from everything else?
Well, I'll tell you this. My daughter is 27 years old. She happens to live in Atlanta now, but 27 years ago, we were trying to come up with her name. And my wife got the first name of Catherine, and I got the second name of Augusta. Oh. So naming my daughter after that place, I think it kind of gives a sense of what it means to most anybody that's a golf aficionado. It's a place that if you watch it on TV, which is all I had done prior to Katie picking up that name, you felt something special about that event. It rose higher than any other major. It rose higher than any other tournament. And so much history was done there. When you have a chance to step on it, either to play or to go to the tournament, it's surreal. It's like nothing. It takes what you see on TV and just rises to another level. It's the beauty. It's the scenery. It's the gathering of the type of people that come to the golf course, the energy. I don't think you hear roars quite like you hear at the Masters at any other tournament. So it's, it has it on the elevations. They talk about the elevations on TV. You can't believe it till you see it. It's even more so than that. It's the elevations are incredible, and the angles that these guys have to hit the ball from and to is just remarkable.
Yeah, last couple years ago, 2019, I had my first opportunity to get on the grounds, and it was pretty special. I think I can compare it to my very first NHL hockey game in Edmonton, watching Wayne Gretzky play. And, the smells, the scenery, the players, the patrons, the food, and it just makes you want to go back. And it's not just all about the golf, but it's the experience. And I definitely want to go back. But I guess my question to you, Mark, would be, what out of the ordinary really, really got you while you were playing the golf course? And what holes or what experiences really got you?
Eamon Corner always gets you right. Number 10 is probably the most surprising hole as you go around it the first time, to be up on that tee box and have your ball wrap down the hill and hopefully go in the right direction. but when you hit that back area where you're walking from green to tee to green to tee in that very tight, quarters back there, it's just like a slice of heaven. It's amazing to be on those grounds, but I'd say 10 and then, the three back in the corner.
Hey, Mark, the thing that struck me, and I hit a couple shots from probably some areas I shouldn't have, but the ability for these guys to hit it close to those holes. I mean, the little areas where these flags are put, and if you look at I've got one of the yardage books when I was there, look at the areas and then the slopes away from the hole and the slopes up above the hole. I'm amazed these guys can break par. It's truly amazing.
I'm like you. I'm like, when you're putting, you're fortunate enough to have caddies that, know this place better than you. But when you're putting and you think it's going this way and they tell you to go that way and you're like, there's no way. And it goes, putting is hard enough, but imagine having to land the ball on those greens, right? Right. And go at the spot where it has to go in order for it. It's the undulations on those greens. Putting is hard enough, but even today, watching them land the ball in certain locations, knowing with confidence where the ball is going to end up going was, in most cases, remarkable.
Yeah. Mark Hollis, kindly joining us again, Vice President of Business Development, Rock Ventures. Mark, I don't know how much you can say, but let's see, a bottle of goodness, Morten Andersen in a late night out on the course. Are we allowed to talk about that, Mark?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to go down with some really good friends. Izzo D'Antonio, we made a trek down there. I've taken Morten's a good one to bring up. The things you go down there and you generally will play two rounds when you go with a member, and then you go to dinner, and they used to have an old wine cellar, right, where you would go down and Eisenhower wrote in pencil where he stored his wine. And for me, that was a very cool, experience. I like to see all the inner workings in the back, but after dinner and after drinks, Morton and I took a bottle of wine, two glasses, and a stroll out to Amen Corner. We sat on a bench and just talked about life. You know, we talked about him being the leading scorer in the NFL and, you know, what that meant to him and things he's trying to do with his role for the men and women of the armed forces and raise funds and generate things like that. And it just, you're sitting there and you're having this conversation. You have to, you almost can't hear what he's saying because of what you're seeing. It was a fun experience, but one that was remarkable to be in the presence of that beautiful course and also a really cool guy.
Mark, one of the things that I think people are excited about is you know, really kicking it up with the Rocket Mortgage Classic this year. And Area 313 is to become the most charitable three holes in golf. Can you talk about that? Because this just keeps growing. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's great to see your smile because I think it's matching the smiles for all of us as well. This is just going to be such a fun next couple of months.
Yeah, it really is. And you have to go back to, you know, Dan really had the vision of moving the PGA Tour to the city of Detroit. And I mean the city of Detroit and the Detroit Golf Club where you guys are sitting. I recognize that table all too well because that's headquarters right there during tournament week. But it's, you know, for Dan to have that vision and to see it come to life and Jay, you know, last year it would have been very easy not to have a Rocket Mortgage Classic. And Jay, you know, Jay put out the challenge. Let's impact the outcome. Let's use this event to do something special, even when patrons aren't on the course. And we went out and did that. We raised, I think, $1.2 million in year one. We more than doubled that in year two to benefit the city of Detroit, the people of Detroit, Detroiters, have an impact on the digital divide, changing the course, and really launching Connect 313 in a positive way. That, I mean, if you can imagine going through COVID without, you know, Wi-Fi, without the ability to connect for jobs, for healthcare, for education, you go through all those different circumstances. That's what the Rocket Mortgage is all about. And Casey Herbis and his marketing team and Jason Langwell and the tournament team just do an incredible job of coming up with ideas, coming up with concepts. And this is the latest. It's, you know, we don't know what the Rocket Mortgage is going to look like from a fan perspective this year. So you have to do things that are creative and out of the box and challenging. And, you know, that this is another component of what that's going to be like. Bubba, you know, he handed us a great gift by having that event last year with the little playoff they had on Wednesday. So we're looking at things a little differently this year and what we can add to the event to continue to make it a great, great event. The other thing, if I can throw in real quickly, there's no other event on the PGA Tour like the one in Detroit. It's unique. It's in the city. It's in an urban area. It really captures the essence of what Detroit's all about from top to bottom. And that's why it's, you know, so fun to help Jay and Jason and Casey and Dan help execute this at a very high level. And it's going to just get better and better every year.
No doubt about that. Hey, a word before we let you go as well, and we really appreciate the time with Mark Hollis here on 760 WJR. Talk a little bit about the John Shippen, the two-day tournament that is going to be a part of the festivities this year.
Yeah, another special event. I got to tip my hat to Charlie Besser with Intersport and Jason Langwell. They devised this new event to bring to Detroit. It's a national event. Both men and women will be competing. They'll be competing for an opportunity to play in the LPGA Dow event, as well as a spot in the Rocket Mortgage Classic. But it brings the rich Black history of golf that happened in Detroit, or and continues to happen in Detroit, along with a national level, and we'll focus all that in our city in a national focus. Jason has spent time on CBS. Leading into the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where it will be featured. We're working with the Golf Channel and some other broadcasts, but it's really intended of who's playing on that Sunday and Monday, competing for spots to play on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. So it's going to be a fun, exciting week. weekend to weekend, and we've got a lot going on, and I know you guys will have wall-to-wall coverage on all of it.
No doubt about it. Mark, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Great to hear your perspective on one of the most legendary golf courses ever, and certainly an event that we are pretty fond of here as well. Looking forward to the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Continued success to you. I'm sure we'll talk soon, Mark.
Sounds great. Appreciate it. From Boyne Country.
Place to be. Mark Hollis kindly joining us. When we come back, another special guest talking a little bit about that beautiful course down in Georgia. Randy Lewis joins us right here. Spin on Golf on a Sunday night. Don't you go anywhere. 760 WJR.
Back for another round. It's the Spin on Golf Show, presented by Rocket Mortgage and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Once again, your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Bolegian.
Well, good evening, everybody. 7:35 on a Sunday night. So glad you could join us. Spin on Golf here, and glad that this gentleman can join us as well. He is a member of the Michigan Golf Hall of Fame. Knows just a little something about Augusta himself. Let's bring him in. Kindly joining us on Spin on Golf, Randy Lewis. And first of all, Randy, appreciate the time, and certainly appreciate the conversation here on Spin on Golf. How are you, sir?
Good. Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on tonight. So,
hey, Randy, I was asking these guys earlier, and I guess it's your turn now. I mean, every event is special. I mean, that's why they're called majors. There just seems to be a little something extra special about Augusta and the Masters. A, is that your feeling? And B, what was that like for you being down on what is considered hallowed grounds by so many?
Yeah, no, you know, it's interesting. When I was there, you can tell that everything's different. Even the professionals, the experiences they are, and as many great events that they've played in, they are so happy and excited to be at Augusta. It's a different feeling for them, too. And I had lunch with Matt Kuchar one day, and he spoke to that. I mean, there's just no place like Augusta National, and really nothing like the Masters Tournament. I mean, it's so special. And the grounds really are hallowed. I mean, with the history of the game, Bobby Jones, you know, Augusta's the only golf course I've ever arrived at where I was nervous. When I drove in those gates for the first time, I mean, I was nervous. So I haven't had that feeling any other time, even though I played a lot of great golf courses over the years. But it's just an incredible place. It's just,
how do you know what they're saying?
Just beyond description how spectacular it is. So.
And already, BC, you're already throwing out a challenge, by the way, during the break. I had to share that with everybody, BC. Okay. Now, you're going to let him beat you once this year? Is that what the conversation was? I figured we could continue that convo on the air. Is that fair?
I forgot I'm with the media, and you got to watch what you say, Randy. I forgot. And, you know, yeah, we're going to play a practice round in Norwood with Ian this week and, you know, look around the golf course. But Randy's never seen it before, so he's going to play well this week. And, you know, I'll tighten it up a little bit when it comes tournament time for the U.S. Senior Open qualifier at Norwood. But, you know, Randy, I was talking to Mark Hollis about the – I'm amazed because I've played the golf course – how great – I'm going to say great the guys are. Like Matsuyama hit that shot in there 3.5 feet on 16 yesterday. How hard of a shot that is, even with a 9-iron, how small the placement areas are of the hole locations. And looking at how you could make a 15-foot putt there is just amazing to me. You played in tournament conditions. It's harder. It's way harder than playing it in normal conditions. So if you can relay some of that information, it'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the greens have so much movement to them. And I don't know if you noticed in the overhead shots that they had, I don't know if they're using drones, but I thought that was a really nice touch on the broadcast day, because you don't see the undulations as well on TV as what they really are like in person. But I thought the drone coverage really gave you a lot better sense of just how much movement there are to those greens. But yeah, there's just so many spots where they can put the pins that they're on little plateaus, and there's really only about one or two angles that you've got to have the right kind of putt. And even if you're putting from uphill to those plateaus, you have to be careful, because if you slide it more than 3 feet by the hole, all of a sudden you can see it go the other way. The first hole in 2012 when I played Garrigus, I don't know, he had a 25-foot putt, and he ended up putting it off the green and made triple. I mean, they can get away from you so quick. So some of the shots are incredibly exacting, and you really, I mean, you really have to have the ball up in the air with some spin. It's pretty difficult where they put those pins to keep the ball around the hole unless you've got the ability to hit it way up with some spin, I think. So.
Yeah, you saw Shoffley on the third hole. That was a great example. You could be 25 yards from the green and make a double bogey like that. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they did show a good shot, Shoffley's third shot, how much elevation change there was, and he's 25 yards from the hole.
And we've never seen that on three.
Right.
Never seen those camera angles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a great job this year with the low camera angles. And then, before you came on, I was there and I saw all these cameras in place, Randy, that I never even knew existed. You know, they're in trees. They were here. Like you said, the drone shots were just incredible, and it gave you so much appreciation of what the grounds are.
Yeah, I was noticing, you guys talk about the undulations and the greens, how everybody was leaving that putt short on 13. They're obviously all hitting their 7-irons and 8-irons up there for their eagle putts from 45 feet behind, but it's interesting how they just couldn't figure out that they had slowed down that much and how many guys weren't converting their two-putt birdie. Just crazy how quickly things can change there.
Yeah, I wonder how much grass he clipped off the greens this morning, Mike, after, because they are so healthy and they're so on edge and they're so perfect and they're so controlled from underneath. That how much grass he picked up after that rain. They probably mowed him and then mowed him again this morning. How many buckets he dumped off those greens?
Huge difference from the first day, right?
Oh my lord!
It was like cement.
Yeah, but what a great to have somebody on that actually has played in the Masters, earned the right to play in the Masters. Randy won the Mid Amateur Championship the year before, and Randy has some good stories about playing with Tom Watson, right, Randy?
Yeah, that was fun. So Tom was a big inspiration to me when he almost won the British Open at age 59. And I kind of looked at that and used that as motivation because I'm like, well, I mean, of course, Watson's one of the all-time greats. But, I mean, he did prove that, age doesn't always have to be the ultimate limiting factor. And so anyway, when I did qualify for Augusta, I sat down and I was able to get his address, and then I wrote him just a handwritten letter and just explained to him, they'd been an inspiration. I'd been a fan of his and, I'd like to, have a chance to play a practice round with him. So, I didn't hear anything for quite a while. I wrote it, early January, I believe. And then I was down in Florida practicing and my wife called me and she says, well, guess what you got in the mail today? And I said, what? She's got a note from Tom Watson. And it was perfect. It was classic Watson too. It said, Randy, 8 a.m. first tee Augusta National, April, whatever the date was. Be there. Looking forward to playing with you, Tom. So,
wow.
That's how that went together. So, yeah, that was a special day because that was the first time that my wife, my wife had been there once with me on a previous visit. We got to meet Jack Nicklaus that day, which was pretty cool. But that was the first time that my boys and my in-laws, my mom, who hadn't seen me play in like 35 years, they all showed up to watch that practice. We had like 50 people from Alma up. So it was just a spectacular day. It was so much fun. I just a thrill of a lifetime.
That is so awesome. Like just hearing you say that, I mean, that's a pinch yourself moment. I mean, not only are you there, but you're playing with a guy that's been an inspiration to you. And I mean, that's got to be one of those things, Randy, were you sitting there going, is this happening? Is this real? Because I mean, just hearing that sent goosebumps down my spine.
Yeah, it was like a fairy tale. I mean, the whole week was just so special. And I knew what would happen. The whole week just flew by. I mean, it was like you blinked and the whole week was over with. So no, it was really cool. And Tom was a great guy too. He was really personable and we had a lot of good conversation. We talked about his days when he came up to Northern Michigan and played at Belvedere and Walloon Lake Country Club and talked about hunting and all that good stuff. But, no, it was quite a special day. And then, actually, when we got done, Martin Keimer had played with us, too, and Andy North. And Tommy had us up to the champions locker room for lunch. So that just added to the whole experience. So,
you dog.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Randy Lewis kindly joining us here on Spin on Golf. Is it about keeping the emotions in check at a place like that too? Because I mean, here you played the game your whole life, but there's got to be that moment. Okay, you know what? This course is still like any other course. Is that a big part, the mental aspect of I'm at Augusta that guys have to keep in check?
Oh yeah. No, I think not just for the amateurs, but the professionals too, especially the ones that haven't been there with a lot of frequency. I mean, it's such a big stage and it's a unique golf course. And, you know, it's you're arguably one of the five greatest sporting events on the planet. Right. So, it's a big deal. And in the pros, I mean, Garrigus, I mean, his hands were shaking. I watched him put on the first screen and his hands were shaking. So, I mean, it's a big deal to everybody that's there. And I did a lot of deep breathing. I thought about that first tee shot for 6 months and, you know, I think I spoke to it earlier in another interview that it was nice because I got to go early Thursday morning. We were the second group off, and I played with Jose Maria Olazabal and, like I said, Robert Garrigus. And Jose Maria hooked it left into the trees, and Garrigus hit it right into the trees. And so I thought, okay, I can do this. So I just ripped it right down the middle.
Ripped? Randy Lewis ripped the shot?
Wow. Rip for a 54 and three quarters year old guy, right?
Yeah, so you don't awesome. Miss the fairways, yeah.
Pretty special.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey. Thanks for being with us, Randy. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. Hopefully we can catch up again and continued success to you, Randy.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, Randy Lewis kindly joining us here. Spin on Golf. Don't you go anywhere. One more segment to go on a Sunday night. So glad you could join us wherever you may be right here on 760 WJR.
Welcome back to the Spin on Golf show presented by Rocket Mortgage and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Now back to your hosts, PGA professionals Jordan Young, Mike Fay, Brian Cairns, and WJR's own Sean Bolegian.
And welcome back in. One more segment to go here on a Sunday night, but fret not, we're going to be here for the next, 58 Sundays in a row, something like that. Yep. I'm not complaining one bit either. We're going to be hanging out every Sunday night, whether it be in the comfort of our home studios or like Mr. Fay and BC at the Detroit Golf Club. I'm not sure we'll be in Vegas again for another edition of Spin on Golf, but I'm not going to discount it either. But Jordan Young with a special guest in Vegas right now. Jordan, who you got?
Well, yeah, my good friend Luke Lefebvre is with us. And, you know, as long as we know this guy, we might be able to come to Vegas. But we are actually working out here. We're not just playing and having a good time. Luke's a longtime friend, fellow Canadian, runs the Oxford National Pro-Ams, and we watched a little bit of the Masters today. Luke, why don't you tell them a little bit about what's going on out here and what you thought of the tournament?
Yeah, we've got our sixth annual Oxford National Pro-Am at Shadow Creek this week here in Las Vegas. It's kind of a special one for us. Guys get to play their pro with four amateurs, get to play Shadow Creek 3 days in a row. It's kind of a treat for everybody. We're here at Bellagio tonight, do this a couple of times a year with Shadow and a bunch of other events out here. But yeah, we had a chance to watch the Masters today. I thought it was great, great for golf. Hideki's a talent that obviously we all know that. And I don't think we're going to quite understand the global impact of him winning for a little bit, but I can imagine in Japan right now, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Did you see Scheifele make six on 16?
Yeah, I did see that. That was...
What a
that
shame.
Kind of came out of left field.
It was a bummer. Yeah. So, BC, going full circle, Hideki, the winner, all that, you know, I was lucky enough to be on your bag at Whistling Straits, and we got a chance to play with Hideki in a practice round. And it was kind of funny because, you know, for those of you that don't know BC, which this is probably, the, you know, everybody knows, uses a yellow ball, six-on ball. And so we got lucky enough to play with Hideki and the guys. And BC said, hey, yellow ball. And Hideki looks over and he's like, what? We're standing on the first tee. There's 1,000 people watching. And he fires this yellow ball over Hideki and he looks over and grabs it like this, catches it. And he goes, no yellow. He pulls out his white ball and tees it up and rips it.
Puts it down the middle.
But it was pretty funny. BC throws this ball, and I'm like, oh, I hope he sees it coming. He caught it last second.
I kind of took it for granted that he would see it.
Yeah, and it wasn't a close toss. It was from about 25 feet away, too. But tell us a little bit about the experience on the course. It was really cool how you guys worked doing some short game shots. And you know, I mentioned earlier that he didn't communicate very well. That was a long time ago where he didn't communicate well, you know, at that point with his English. But you guys
he kind of did. Remember we had the guy from Strixon, the VP from Strixon, carrying about 40 wedges under his arm because the bunkers were so, you know, rustic or rough, you want to call it, the furrows or whatever they did to him. So he had a whole bunch of these wedges, and by the end of the round, he only had like six. Like, he'd leave them or he was giving them away. I don't know. But Hideki was trying different shots and showing me these different shots with his hands in different bounces and different, you know, grinds on the front edge. I'm just like,
they weren't talking. They were just like, BC would hit three shots and go, oh, yeah. And then Hideki would be like, oh, and he hit two shots, and then he'd be like, oh, yeah. And then, like, they're both, like, looking at each other and, you know, making these sign languages and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool.
I mean, it was so cool that you don't need to speak a language to understand what somebody's really trying to say in golf. It was so cool. I mean, you know, one of the higher moment in my life with a champion at Augusta. But you can converse in golf no matter what language you speak, Mike. It was really cool.
It had to be awesome for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and Jordan, you know, the Dice K, the caddy was screwing with Jordan in the bag. You know, he dropped the bag a few times because Dice K was screwing with him.
Oh,
you know,
come on. I didn't drop the bag.
No.
I dropped the head cover, and that's on national TV, but that was on the green. I dropped the head cover for 2 seconds, and everybody in the crowd went, head cover.
Yeah.
No, I remember we were there.
Yep.
Yeah, you were there.
Yep. Rachel and Mike were there. Yeah. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Cool moment. So, anyway, enough. What about
that was our nice little circle back Hideki, a champion. Yeah. Is he going to light the torch in the Olympics?
I certainly hope so, because he is a real national hero, like a Pele was. You know, I think he's that big of a statement to his country. And I really hope he does. I think he's the one that touches it down, I guess you would say, the final torch to light the big fire at the Olympics, the beginning of the Olympics. But I think he's that big of a person to the country, especially now.
And he has such a mob that follows him. I mean, and the pressure on him too. So this will be good for him. You saw the emotion come out at the end.
Yep. Yeah, all good. I mean, good, like you said, good for golf again globally, because we are all in this together to move golf globally and grow the game of golf. And that certainly didn't hurt it, did it, Mike?
Big.
Yeah,
I want to visit that, because you just touched on it, and Luke said it earlier. I mean, look, golf has exploded so much. Tiger. Okay, there, I got it out of the way. Golf has exploded. How much bigger can it get? I mean, if people aren't aware that it's bad and it's worldwide right now, I mean, my goodness gracious, to hear you guys who've had an up close and personal look at how much this has exploded say it can get even bigger with a win of this magnitude. My goodness gracious, look out.
Yeah, but you're talking about a Japanese culture or an Asian culture. They have very limited space, let's be honest. But do they have more space in China? Does this affect China golf just as well? Because it's the Asian culture we're talking about. Yes, there's separation of Koreans and Japanese and Chinese. But I think it helps the whole Asian culture, and how much more it can grow in China. How much more can the game grow in China? And what this does to a person, it gives them something to do, it gives them activity, it gives them outside. We all know what it does for everybody, but it's a huge thing. And then hopefully it flows over to Russia, and then we can just keep on going from there. The countries that we think are, you know, very oppressed or very, you know, very poor, this would do nothing but help them, Mike.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys can't forget the women's amateur champion also, Japanese, I believe. Uh-huh. And then kudos to Drive, Chip, and Putt for doing their thing to grow the game. Always special. We had a few Michigan representatives this year. I believe one of them was a division champion. So pretty cool. Neat stuff to grow the game, and Augusta doing their thing.
Yeah, it definitely, again, it starts from the grassroots. It starts, you know, one of Mike's students can make it there next year. One of our students could make it there next year. It's that simple and that's easy.
to get on a roll and get to that level. And it's very special for these kids.
Yes.
And this is just a huge beginning and upside to their careers or their golf.
I was there in 2018. Yeah. With one of my students.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Yep. Awesome. So congratulations, Kate. She played really good, right, Jordan?
That was good. Kate Brody, Doug's daughter. Yep. Over there at Warwick Hills.
Yep.
All right, guys, we got about a minute to go. You know, I always like to ask you if you got anything going on this week that you want to get out there in the community before we all reconvene next week. Mike Fay, anything new with you coming up this next week?
Getting all new programs going on starting in May. So excited at Walnut Creek.
Outstanding. How about you, BC?
We haven't said this, but thank you, Danny Gilbert, for bringing the tournament back home. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage, for letting us do this. It's great. Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Jordan,
and just a special dedication to Mr. Dykema. Passed this past week, and we'll dedicate this show to him, and God bless him.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, guys, a pleasure. It flies by, as always. Look forward to doing it again next week, 7 o'clock right here on 760 WJR. Lots of thanks out there. Of course, Jeff Marcero, really appreciate you. Randy Lewis, Mark Hollis, Luke for being a special guest, Nick Roddy, Eric Dortch, Ray Templin. I think Ray. I got everybody. For everybody, my name is Sean Belegian saying we'll talk to you next week right here on Spin on Golf on 760 WJR.